This is the Made for Living Well podcast, hosted by Alexa Sherm, the place to create a life well lived.
Welcome back to the Made for Living Well podcast. My name's Alexa, and I am so glad you are here. We are in a series called Health School, and this is the place where I want to teach you that your body is for you and it has the tools it needs to live well. The key is learning how to live that out in your everyday life. Because health is not a destination, it's an action. It's what you do every single day to create health. And the beauty is when you learn to create it, you'll experience it. Now, like I mentioned, we're in a podcast series called Health School. The last podcast, we learned a lot about seed oils. And in the previous podcast, it was so much deeper talking about self-identity. And today, I really want to combine those two topics that feel so opposite, but really are all interconnected. Yes, we need to understand self-identity and the life source that that becomes in our life, but we also need to recognize that sometimes what we eat is influencing our identity, even in unhealthy ways. And this comes back to your nervous system. So today in the podcast, we're talking all about the nervous system. But this topic is broad and it's deep. Therefore, we're actually going to talk about it over the next three podcasts, pulling in the hormonal aspect of how your nervous system is actually influencing your hormones more than anything else. So if you feel like you have a hormonal problem, I'm here to tell you that it starts with your nervous system. And in a few podcasts, we're going to talk all about the hormonal hierarchy, proving why your nervous system is the number one indicator of your sex hormones, because your sex hormones are really at the top of that pyramid. I don't want to spoil it now, but make sure you tune in today and in the next podcast as we set ourselves up for understanding hormones in a fresh way. Now, as I mentioned, today we're going to talk about the nervous system. The nervous system is critically important to the function of your body because in a lot of ways, it is the control panel of your body. Now, I mentioned that energy is the single most important factor of health, which it very much is. How much energy you have is really going to determine the overall flow of your body, including how your nervous system is going to respond. But the thing about our body is that it's running in a continuous loop. So when you change one thing, it affects another thing, and then it reaffects the thing that you just changed. It's a continuous loop. Kind of like how people ask, was it the chicken or the egg, right? Like which came first? Inside the body, those things get a little bit more complicated and tricky because it's really hard to pinpoint one as the root cause or as the sole source of change that could affect everything else. And as I mentioned, energy is a really big player in that. And the reason I didn't put the nervous system as the top tier is not because the nervous system isn't critically important in determining how the body uses that energy, but energy very much impacts how the nervous system is going to respond. And I say that because there's a lot of things in life that are influencing our nervous system, which ultimately first take up our energy. Now, I don't want to get into this heated debate because it's really not about that at all. What I'm trying to say is energy is still the single most important thing in health, but how our body is using that energy is really going to be determined by your nervous system. Now, your nervous system runs throughout your entire body. It's not just your brain, but it's all the neurons that connect all of the cells and organ systems inside your biology. And throughout those neurons, it's constantly communicating via different charges. And these charges are either turning on or turning off at different functions inside the body, again, based on what state it's working in. And really, it's those states that we need to be most aware of because it's those states of the nervous system that we really do have most control over. We can't necessarily change the constant flow of neurons inside our biology because there's so much communication that happens in the inner workings of our biology that are just automatic. We don't have a lot of control over them. But we do have the ability to influence the action of these neurons by influencing the state in which we're living within. Now, I want to make clear the really big point of your entire nervous system. And ultimately, it's for survival. Your nervous system is designed to pick up on threats and determine your level of safety. And if I had to just give one big quote for this episode, it's understanding that your body's job is to keep you alive. It's our job to make us well or to help us thrive. But when it comes to your biology, it's first and foremost always going to go for survival. What are the immediate responses and needs that need to happen in order to keep you alive? Now, ideally, we wouldn't live in this survival state, but we would move into a state of thriving. But that takes a lot of nourishment and a lot of safety that many of us are neglecting, especially in the world that is telling us to do the opposite of what our body actually needs to feel safe. In fact, some of the largest stressors on our biology today have nothing to do with the safety of our environment, but how safe our biology feels based on how much food you're eating, just based on nourishment in general. Food in itself has become a large stress on our body when food was solely meant to be an act of survival, an act of nourishment. Now we've complicated it to the point where it's just an added stress, and that stress is changing your nervous system response, which changes what your body does with the things that you provide. Now, I don't want to confuse things before I fully explain your nervous system. So let's just back this train up and talk specifically about the role of your nervous system. So again, your nervous system is a communication network between all cells and all systems inside your biology to determine the level of safety and therefore the flow of energy that those cells and tissues and organ systems receives. And through that, it changes the output or your health in general. Now, there are three main states of the nervous system or of the autonomic nervous system, which has been known through the polyvagal theory. And these three states are, you have the ventral vagal state, which is your rest and digest phase. You have the sympathetic state, which is more of that fight or flight response. And then you have what's known as the dorsal vagal state, which is kind of this freeze or this collapse state. Now, I want to be clear, all three of these states are critically important to your biology. They were all God-given designs to help you survive. And throughout a lifetime, all of us will experience all three at some point or another. I think in the world of health today, we often hear that these states or some of these states like the sympathetic state or the dorsal vagal state are wrong. They're bad. And I want to be clear, there's nothing in our biology that is bad or wrong. It's all there out of protection. Problems exist not because of these specific states or not because you shouldn't enter any one of these states, but how long we spend there. And this is where I want to twist the narrative a little bit to help you see a new perspective. Because when it comes to the nervous system, it's really not about preventing yourself from entering the stress state. Which I think a lot of us are hearing that anymore, right? Just practice self-love, rest, slow down, pull back, which yes, those are really great things. But we can't neglect that our biology was also designed to be stressed. And there's actually a lot of benefits from living in that sympathetic state from time to time. Really, throughout any given day, we should see states of stress of higher intensity and states where we pull back and rest and digest. It's not that any one of these states is wrong. It's getting stuck in these states, preventing ourselves from moving or flowing through all three, which is really where the ultimate form of living comes in. And I bring this up because part of living is understanding that that is going to involve stress. It's going to involve feeling unsafe. Even positive things can make you feel unsafe. Like think about going and doing something exciting, but if it's unknown, if it's not normal, more than likely you're also going to feel heightened. We need to get away from demonizing and even neglecting the stress response of our biology. It's actually incredibly beneficial, especially in mobilizing energy and helping you to feel alive. But again, it's learning how to create balance in that, allowing your biology to move through all three. Now, technically, most of us probably wouldn't see that dorsal vagal state most days. That's kind of more of a last line of defense, but rather we should be able to move back and forth in between the rest and digest state and the sympathetic state, not fearing one or the other, but using both to enhance our lives. And let me remind you, that is the goal of health, is to help you live life. Not avoid living because we're fearing things that really aren't things to fear, but I think that we fear them because we misunderstand them. So I just want to clear the air. All three states are God-given designs. They all have a purpose, and they are not to be feared, but used when needed. And in your daily life, you should experience this movement back and forth between the sympathetic and the rest and digest state, or the parasympathetic state. You should be able to engage with stress, but also be able to pull it back and rest and nourish your body on the backside of that. It's the movement, it's the flow, it's learning how to manage stress and also manage rest in a way that nourishes your biology. And that's really what I want to talk about today and in the next podcast, breaking it down into two compartments. One is, how do we use your biology to do this, or your body? And the other is, how do we use your mind to do this? Because when we look at your nervous system, it is that interconnection, or that point that pulls together your mind, body, and even your soul. It's pulling it all together, and it's this interaction and this communication channel that runs through all of it. It's all important in understanding how to create a healthy flow of your nervous system response. So to be clear, again, like energy, your nervous system is always in motion. It is always changing, it is always responding, and it is always reacting to the experience of life. We should not fear that, but start to understand that and learn how to nourish these changes. Really learning how to, in some level, embrace the stress of life while also embracing these rest and digest phases. And that comes back to regulation. Or regulation is another word for balance. It's recognizing and embracing when our body pulls itself out of balance, which on some level, life will always pull us out of balance. And not working so much to try to control or prevent that, but embracing that, knowing you know how to regulate on the other side of it. Now, I think some of the issues that we deal with in our nervous system have to do with the fact that we really don't know how to regulate. And without regulation, or without the balance that we're looking for of understanding how to help your nervous system move through that state and regain balance, we'll often become stuck. And it's getting stuck in any one of these states that is really causing the mass amount of problems that our biology is facing. Because when you get stuck in the stress response, your body lives in this heightened state. It can change your thyroid, even pulling from backup energy sources that run through your adrenals, which is why a lot of people suffer from quote unquote adrenal fatigue, which is less about your adrenals becoming fatigued and more about how your nervous system is responding. And arguably, I think we can also get stuck in the parasympathetic state. We can get stuck in these deep places of rest, making it difficult for us to want to engage in life-giving things. And when we're stuck, then our biology continuously repeats out of old cycles. And in the process of that, we start to conserve energy rather than use it. And the conservation of energy slows our metabolism, and it slows the rejuvenation of our cells, opening the door to more sickness, illness, and disease. Like all things in life, we're working for a balance, a flow, a movement. And that's what I want to help you see today. It's not about arriving at a place, or it's not about getting your nervous system to stay in one specific state. It's never static. But it's always a flow. It's how you generate it. It's what you create. It's the action you take, which really means this is kind of a moment by moment, day-to-day situation that you engage with. It's not a forever, long-term, quote-unquote, solution. Really, the only solution is learning how to create this movement. Now, the best way to create that movement is through two things. There are two critical elements that your nervous system needs to respond in healthy ways. One is safety. Our body is always looking for safety, and it's always on the lookout for threats and danger. And if you ever struggle with anxiety or any kind of worry or overwhelm, then you know that sometimes focusing on those things only encourages them to grow. Like, I know this all too well. The more I focus on the problems, the more energy I give the problems, the bigger the problems become, and the less safe I feel. And a lot of time, that's just based out of a perspective or a story you tell yourself. Of course, there's a whole element of stored memory that's going to factor in, and we're going to talk about that in the next podcast. Because the mindset element, your beliefs, those are all critical players in your nervous system response. But it also needs safety in your biology. And we often neglect this aspect, that how you eat, what you eat, when you eat is all influencing the safety of your biology based on the neuroception, how that's being received, the patterns that you live out. So let's say, for instance, you undereat. Undereating, not eating enough, overworking out are all pushing the body into the stress state. Again, in the short term, it works, which is why calorie counting often works for a period of time. But in the long term, or over the course of some time, it stops working. And yes, that's partially because your metabolism downregulates to meet it, but your metabolism downregulates because your nervous system told it to. Your nervous system decided, okay, now this is feeling a little unsafe. I haven't had the balance. I don't have the nourishment I need. Therefore, it's time to start to conserve. So we have to be aware that sometimes our mind and our nervous system is responding just to the neglect of our biology. So we have to work on safety. The only way to change our body is, yes, by pushing our body, but also by providing the foundation of safety. I'm going to give you some points in just a minute. But I want to be clear about the second critical element of your nervous system flow, and that's learning how to mobilize or move through these different states. It's learning how to mobilize the energy in your nervous system. And I say this because a lot of the places that we get stuck end up being this really big buildup of energy. Take anxiety, for instance. Sometimes anxiety is actually just excitement masked as worry, but a lot of times anxiety is this buildup of energy because we haven't learned how to create and generate a flow of that. So what I'm trying to tell you is things need to move through your body, and movement helps your body to process these things. And just like movement helps you generate energy, it helps generate a flow of energy. And so we do need to become more aware of how can we move our energy, which is why I don't always think that the best case scenario for learning how to deal with stress or being stuck in the sympathetic state is not just to rest more. Because resting, just sitting, is not necessarily how our body was designed to process stress. The sympathetic state was designed to fight or flee. You are designed to take action here. So if you're stuck in the sympathetic state, if you're stuck in the stressed response, the only way to help you regain a state of rest is not to start resting, but to move that energy out of you so that you can enter into rest. Now, I'm hitting that point hard because, again, I think our self-love movement or all of the frameworks that we have to deal with stress are often to take space, to sit, to pull back, to not work. And yes, there is a time and a place for that. Our body really does need that. But it can only do that when we've mobilized the stress so that we can start to release it and then actively heal. Otherwise, I think our rest is a lot of artificial rest. We think we're resting, but our body's not really resting because it's stuck in a state of stress. And when it's stuck in a state of stress, you're living in stress, but you're sitting. And sitting stress is like our body doesn't even know what to do with it. So we have to also mobilize our stress, which really comes back to healthy forms of movement. Even when you're stressed, it's still important to push your body in that way, to get out and walk, to do a hard activity, to have a good cry, right? Like all of these things are helping your body to move that stress. And we have to move that stress to enter into rest. So as I mentioned, healing your nervous system or creating balance in your nervous system is a mindset thing, which we're going to talk about. And there's a very big mindset component to this, but it's also a biological thing. It's what we do to help nourish our nervous system. And there are 5 big points that I could give you that are really helpful for your nervous system. One is just straight up nourishment, right? Like our nervous system needs energy and it needs nutrients. It needs food in order to do the job that it was designed. In fact, your nervous system is a huge consumer of energy and nutrients. And ironically, the more stressed or the more heightened and higher up on that ladder that you get, the more energy and nutrients you're actually consuming. So when you're not in balance, when you're not moving between the three, that's really that efficient form where we have a lot of energy. We don't need a lot of energy in coming in. When you get stuck in any one state, it's like you run out of gas and your body has to refuel in order to move through the next phase. And oftentimes we neglect that refueling when we're undernourishing our bodies. So we have to nourish our bodies. But also with nourishment, we need to learn how to balance our blood sugar. As we're going to learn in the hormonal hierarchy, balancing blood sugar is really critical to the health of our entire biology. Because too high of blood sugar is an automatic stress on our body. And when we do that consistently and repeatedly, when we move from high blood sugar to low blood sugar, it's just stress, 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 stress. It's really hard to ever get into that rest and digest phase. So we need to learn how to balance our blood sugar and then practice that, which is really pretty basic. It's eating high protein, nourishing fats with the carbohydrates that you consume. Really, we need to be consuming more protein. We're going to talk about this in a coming podcast, so we'll get there. Just like we're going to talk about this next point, which is minerals. Your nervous system needs minerals for balance and regulation. In fact, your nervous system is the number one consumer of minerals inside your body. And ironically, the more stressed you are, the more sodium and specifically magnesium that you're going to need. So higher stress bodies are actually more depleted in these minerals. Minerals are like movers. They help things move through your body. And sometimes we can get stuck in a state of stress because we don't have the minerals to help move those through our bodies, which is why magnesium helps us enter to the rest state. It helps our body relax simply because it also helps to mobilize what has become stuck. So we need to make sure that we have adequate minerals, which are really hard to consume in our everyday diet. So oftentimes these need to be supplemented. And then of course we need movement. Like I mentioned, we have to move our bodies in order to mobilize stress. So I'm not just here to tell you that you shouldn't push your body, that you should just engage in rest-based activity. Yes, there's a time and a place for those things, but there's also a time and a place that says your body needs to be pushed. And it's okay to do hard things and to work your body. That is what you were designed for. And sometimes it's the hard work or the hard workout or the long run that is exactly what your body needs to get rid of the pent-up energy that is keeping you stuck in a specific nervous system state. So do not be afraid to do hard things. In fact, pushing your body through hard things can be a great way to mobilize that energy. But again, that also has to be balanced with rest. So we also need to sleep. Because sleep is one of our greatest regenerators of our nervous system. Of course, sleep comes easier when we focus on the other 4 points. Now again, there is a lot more to the nervous system that we're going to dive into in the next few podcasts, but I just want to be clear. It's really hard to change the mindset aspect of your body without also nourishing your body on the backside. Because if we can't nourish your body and create safety within our cells based on this biological component, it's going to be really difficult to ever experience a different viewpoint or create a new story. Nourishment matters. It in itself creates a form of safety that is needed in order to reach higher levels of health and really the healing that we're truly seeking. And if we want to let go of some of the things that are harming us and holding us back and some of the old stories and trauma that our body is holding onto, this aspect matters first and foremost. The level of healing that you experience is always going to come back to the level of nourishment that you provide. And while it's your body's job to heal, it is your job to enable thriving based on what you provide. And that always comes back to learning how to support your body. Now, this is a bit of a longer podcast. I know I mentioned I'm trying to keep them to roughly 20 minutes, but it was a lot to explain the nervous system in that bout. In the next podcast, we're going to talk more about generational beliefs, trauma, and changing the story you tell yourself. Really the mindset aspect of the nervous system. Both work hand in hand. But if you want to learn more about these 5 tips, about pushing your body, about nourishing your body, and what your nervous system needs to thrive, head on over to thelivingwell.com/238, where we're going to talk more about that. All of these topics are going to be expanded in the coming podcast, so make sure you tune back in. And as always, if you want to take a deeper dive and get food lists and ideas about bioenergetic nutrition and how to support your nervous system and change the story you tell yourself, all in your own timing, sign up for Health Made Simple. This literally dives into every topic we talk about and expands on it, helping you to create a customizable plan that is personal for you. There are 8 modules with 4 to 5 different lessons inside, including downloadable and printable guides that help you create a plan that works for you. Like it takes the information and helps you make it personable and actionable. And then it also helps you to track the action that you take. Plus, you also get live classes with me, personalized help, and a stronger community. So sign up for Health Made Simple over at The Living Well. I promise you won't regret it. If you have questions, please let me know. Otherwise, I will make sure and see you back here in the next podcast, diving into the stories we tell ourselves. Okay, I'll see you back here then.